Log Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight, and good to be with you tonight. It is another live prophetic talk show where we actually do it more than we talk about it. That is ministry to you personally, so welcome to that place. Welcome, everybody. Hopefully, you're all doing well tonight. We're going to be praying for you, praying for offerings here in a little bit. So you ready for that? If you want to give tonight, I can show you how to do that. If you'd like to do that, it would be awesome. So just let me know. You can text me at 214-505-8719 if you want that link to give tonight. It's kind of like giving night. People have been giving all week, but if you want to give tonight, you don't have that link, we'd be glad to share it with you. And that way you can partake of being a blessing to God and through PGN. It'd be really, really cool. So, yeah. All right. Okay. Thursday night. We're here to pray for you, minister to you. You know, believe God to intervene in your situation, in your life, and see, you know, what the Lord might say, what he might do. Try to explain things, things that are going on in the kingdom of God, things that are going on, you know, maybe in your personal life. We talk about all kinds of different things. So, you never know what you're going to get, that's for sure. So just try to join in and be a part and try to listen and partake of the best you can so you can maybe learn something new. You might learn something that you've never known before, possibly. What we hope you learn something that will change your life, that will help you understand what you're going through and why you're not going through why you're not going through the right things and going through the wrong things. We'll help you understand what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing. Sometimes when you go through a hard time, it doesn't necessarily mean that God's not with you, right? Sometimes when you go through a hard time, you know, God's training you. He's taking you through something. He's teaching you. He's questioning you. You know, who's your source? You know, who are you trusting? You trusting God or you trusting yourself? What are you trusting? And it's not a condemning thing because most people do that, you know. I mean, most people trust themselves more than they do God. And so we think that, oh, I would never do that. People do it all the time. The ones who say they never do it are the ones that probably do it more than anybody. You know, probably. I don't know for sure. But, yeah, so it's really, really interesting how that we think if God is correcting us, that it means that we're just all messed up. But it doesn't. It just means that he's trying to perfect what he's always talking about in the Bible, to perfect love in you, to perfect it, to increase it, to multiply it, to perfect it, to make it to where it works for you in a way that, you know, changes your life and causes you to, you know, change other people's lives. Because the more you let God change you, and then you're able to help other people get their lives changed. So that's just kind of the way it goes, and it's really, really cool. It's really, really awesome, and you know, hopefully you can get a hold of that and start believing God to perfect in you. But it's always about perfection, you know, pruning us and doing all that kind of stuff. That's usually to perfect us, not because we're bad or doing something wrong, but God's trying to perfect it. Then if we resist the perfecting, resist the correction, then eventually, yeah, you know, things kind of move to another level. God takes things from level to level. There's so many different levels. There's so many different ways that, you know, God deals with people according to the hardness of their heart. If they're if they've been hurt, wounded really bad, you know, he deals with them, you know, gently and kindly and gives them a chance. He's very, very patient, very kind. And he's very understanding. You know, he knows when somebody's hurt and wounded. You talk about some people you know, a person who really is tender and loving and having compassion on people that have been abused, and being patient with them and loving with them and knowing when they throw a fit, that they're not throwing a fit because they're evil. They're throwing a fit probably because they've been hurt and wounded very deeply. So we have to, you know, work with people and walk with them with the same kind of patience and love that God has for us as we have for them, right? And God will make you the most compassionate, loving high priest or high priest, priest that, you know, helps people and blesses people and helps them to understand, you know, God really is patient. If God can't be patient through us, that's what the whole gospel is all about, really. It's about how to let God be patient through us. In other words, bearing fruit is letting God manifest himself through us, right? So, bearing fruit is learning how to let who God is inside of you become God on the outside of you, right? So that you can show forth who God is, what God is like. That's what bearing fruit is. That's why God wants us to bear fruit. Bear fruit is we get past that part of being hurt and wounded and messed up, and God is patient with us. He's kind with us, loving and generous with us, and he gives us, you know, time to get over things. He's very, very loving, very, very gentle, very, very gracious. He's just a beautiful God, and he helps people get through things. He deals more harshly with teachers. He deals more harshly with, you know, the scripture says that do not let everybody be teachers, because the teachers receive the greater condemnation. And as you know, what things have happened just lately, you know, that's really true. When you are a teacher or a fivefold ministry person and you're teaching the wrong things and God tries to correct you and help you and adjust you and perfect you and you don't let him, then if you're a leader, the greater condemnation comes on you. And we've experienced some of that, you know, just recently. We were experiencing that. And so the amazing thing is that we're going to experience a lot more of it. That's what's amazing. That's what's going to be shocking to people, is that God has given people, all of us, mainly teachers. And when we say God is judging the church, we're talking about how he's doing with leadership, because the greater condemnation comes to the leaders, right? You know that scripture. I don't have it right in front of me, but so not let many of you be teachers, because the greater condemnation comes. And when you're teaching something and then you're reaching a lot of people and you're talking about stuff that's not right, and God tries to help you, correct you, use prophets and other people to, you know, help adjust you, and you don't listen, you know, eventually, you know, because you're in leadership, that you're a teacher, the greater condemnation comes to the teachers, right? And so we're going to start seeing a lot of this happen, because I'm telling you, God has been patient and kind and generous with all of us. But mainly the people he's going to be dealing with is the teachers, where the greater condemnation comes. So be careful what you're teaching if you're a teacher. Be careful if you have a lot of influence, be careful what you're teaching, because the scripture is really right about that, that they receive the greater condemnation. So, the whole purpose of God being patient and kind with you and loving with you when you're throwing a fit, you know, and you're, you know, you want to tell God to stuff it, and, you know, where are you at when I need you? You let me go through all this stuff. You know, he knows that he was there all the time, but you didn't acknowledge him. So he's not going to get mad at you, because he knows you didn't know that. So what does he do? He's loving. He's kind. He's patient. He just treats you like you're drunk and you don't know what you're doing, and tries to tuck you away in bed and strap your arms in or hurt yourself. And wait till you wake up from that little fit, you know, or whatever the thing you're going through. And we all go through that stuff. And friend, God understands you. He's the most compassionate, loving, kind God you'll ever know in your life. He's the most generous God. The people he deals the hardest with, like I said, are the teachers. That's why the scripture very plainly says, do not let there be many teachers among you, because when you get dealt with, it's pretty tough, pretty tough. That's for me. That's for Marcus Lamb, that's for Joni, that's for your pastors, that's your leaders, that's anybody. People come on, especially that broadcast and reach a lot of people. And I don't, you don't want to be them when God comes in and tries to, you know, correct things and they don't receive the correction. You don't want to be those people because it's not going to be good for them. And, you know, and God deals with different people in different ways. Everybody receives a little bit different kind of dealings. He doesn't deal with the same with every person, right? Because he knows, and that's just the way God is. He knows what's really going on. He knows how much resistance that they really have and that they could have turned many, many times, and they didn't turn when they could have. God, only God knows that stuff. We don't know it. We judge from the outside. We're going, well, they have plenty of time to get that right. We don't know that, really. We don't know what's going on in their heart. We don't know what they're in bondage to. We don't know what's going on. But God does. That's the beauty about God. He understands and knows every hellish thing you've been through, every horrible thing you've gone through. God knows it all. He knows it all. And he knows you. And sometimes you'll see people being more dealt with more harshly than others. Well, just tell them, let me tell you something, friend. It's because God knows that those people had plenty of time. They had plenty of warnings. He knew that they had the right word, and they didn't take it. And it wasn't just one or two times, over and over, just like he dealt with Israel, with Jeremiah, you know, when they came and Nebuchadnezzar came and got him. I mean, that wasn't just like a few weeks. It was years, right? It was years. And we've seen that. We've seen the Jeremiah spirit crying even through me. And make straight the path of the Lord, the John the Baptist spirit also through us, you know, make straight the path of the Lord, because that's what God's doing. He's making straight the path. And if people are in the way, they're a roadblock, then God's going to remove the roadblock one way or the other. And you never know how it's going to happen. He doesn't deal with every person the same. Okay. So, but God being a loving, compassionate, kind God, he wants to bear fruit through you. Bearing fruit means that the way he was patient and kind with you when you were throwing a fit, right? When you were acting crazy, when you were, one day you were fine, the next day you were hostile, the next day you were, you know, angry at everybody, the next day you were feeling pretty good, the next day you were fine, and then you start the cycle again, and God's sitting there going like, yeah, there they go again. You know, he understands that. He knows why you're acting like that. And he's kind and compassionate and loving. But once we get the truth, once we get it, and then we keep doing that, and this is for a long season. God is very patient. Some of us wish you'd quit being so patient, right? We want to be patient with us, but don't be patient with that person that's messing with me. I stand guilty on that one. Oh, my God. Absolutely. I stand guilty on that one for sure. So there you go. That's what's happening. And we're going to see this happen. We're going to see the greater condemnation thing with teachers because God is judging the church's church leadership. That's me. That's Marcus Lamb. That's Joni. That's TBN. That's all, whatever pastor you have, that's all of us. All the leadership is being dealt with. It's not necessarily going for the sheep, teachers, the ones who people listen to and go, man, you know, they have a high position. I'm really going to listen to them. Woe unto those who don't change when God changes you, right, and just resist. And only God, and I keep talking about this, but only God knows whether somebody's really, truly resisting or they have a really good reason why they're resisting. They may not be right. But some people have a lot better reason for resisting than others do. And those who have a better reason, so to speak, that make it right, but they have a better reason for it, you know, it's those who have a better reason for it, you may not know what those reasons are. So you're judging them from the outside. You see two people standing there. They're both Christians, been Christians, you know, both for 10 years. They both go to the same church, get the same teachers. And one of them is God seems to be dealing with very heavily, and they're always, you know, like, you know, having stuff go on. And the other one, it's not so bad. It's like God's being compassionate with them, yet they're both doing the same thing. People doing the same thing, the one who's being dealt with more harshly and has more, you know, issues, more correction going on, maybe in the exterior realm, where they're having a lot of troubles and people attacking them and there's access to them from the enemy, you know, God knows how to move the protection just enough to get your attention. And because he knows, you know, that person is doesn't have the same issues that the other person had, right? That person doesn't have the same issues. So the one person should have learned by now. The other one, the reason they haven't learned is because there's some issues, and I'm dealing with those issues. God's dealing with those issues so that they can learn, so that they can absorb, so that they can change. Right. And then once those people change and they see how patient and loving and kind God was with them when they were throwing fits. You know what I'm talking about. You threw a fit or two, right? I have. I've thrown plenty of them. And God being patient with me. And God being generous with me. And God, you know, why didn't God whack me back on that? Because he knew I was so messed up. If he whacked me, it wouldn't be just, right? I say whack me, you know what I mean? Like, you know, really mess with me. When I say whack, I don't mean, you know, whack can mean a lot of things. Whack, whack, whack. So when you look at that, you have to realize that, oh, God, I don't know why you're not, you know, why is one person getting away with it and the other one not getting away with it? Well, there could be various reasons for that, because the one person has deeper wounds. The particular wounds are, you know, they're, you know, without when they were a little child, and I mean, all kinds of things. Well, and so because the other one didn't have the same issues and should have learned already, God deals more harshly with them, right? I say harshly, you know, it looks harsh, but God is just, right? And the other person is like, he's having mercy, and they're both doing the same thing wrong. How does that happen? Because God understands that they are still innocent in a sense. In other words, once you learn something, what Jesus said to a lot of the leaders back then, he said, once you get informed, you are now guilty. Right? That's what he told them. I don't have the exact scripture in front of me, but he said, once they had the knowledge of the truth, then it's completely different, right? Then they are held accountable for it. But some people, you think they got it, you think they should have got it by now, they should have, you know, but God knows that they haven't got it yet. So until they got it, they're not going to be held accountable. In other words, not held accountable like God whacking them, but whacking them in a really bad way. There's different levels of whack. There's whack one, whack two, whack three, whack four, and whack five. Let's say so. Whack one is like, you know, he starts dealing with them and their finances. You know, they have issues and things going on and things they can't seem to, you know, they bind the devil, but the devil didn't go away. And it's like God's going, I want you to wake up. You should know by now, and I'm going to hold you accountable for that. So whack one is engaged. Whack one is engaged, and you don't listen after whack one, then whack two. Right, and then whack three, whack four, and depending on whether you're a leader or not, whether you're a teacher or not, when whack five comes, you know, whack five can mean things different for leaders than it does for those who are followers. So that's another thing that we have to get straight is the whack jobs. You know, whack one is minor discipline, whack two is a little bit more discipline, three, four, it moves up to high levels of discipline. You know, and if you're a teacher and you're not listening and you're influencing people, like I said earlier, God's really going to deal more condemnation with you. In other words, there's more condemnation for you. And I'll get the scriptures to you next week. Just remind me if you would. Amen. Sometimes I like this because I'm just spontaneously doing this, so I'm not prepared with everything. But I do know the scripture, so please trust me to a certain degree. So this is what's going on. So when you see somebody who seems like they're just getting by with it, God, I don't understand, and you start praying judgment on them, you know, you might ought to watch out because that judgment just might come on you. You know, you might watch out and try to be careful because God's going like, yeah, you know what, so-and-so, you should have already learned some things too that you haven't learned. And they haven't learned it yet because there's a block inside them. They need it. They need to have that teaching 100 times when you had it 3 times, and that was enough for you because after 3 times, you absorbed it, and you still didn't change. You see what I'm saying? But other person needs it 100 times because that's just the blockage that they have, the way they learn. And so after 100 times, then they become just as accountable as the other one after 3 times. The thing is you don't ever know, I don't ever know, when a person has actually learned something. Ever learning, there's one scripture talks about ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know, in leadership, when you're like that and you never come to the knowledge of the truth, you keep teaching the same old thing, then you're going to be held a higher level of condemnation. Right. Yeah. But God doesn't feel the same way with people who are just out there and say, you know, I don't believe God can do this. And I don't believe that. If they're not influencing people and teaching a lot of people, God's like going, just don't, this is like a drunk on the street hollering out stuff. Nobody paying attention to them. You know, nobody's really paying attention to that. But if you're a teacher, if you're, you know, quote, professional, and you have a lot of people listening to you and you're influencing those people, oh, in the wrong way, that's what really gets God. God does not like that at all. Okay, so all right, there you go. So, and God is so gracious, and he's so wonderful, and he's so kind that he is, you know, God looks at things in a completely different way than we do. He knows the pain and sufferings on the inside and the blockages on the inside that need more work. They get it quicker, they learn faster, and yet they still resist, right? And even though they're resisting, and it looks like the other person resisting, the other person is not resisting in God's eyes. The other person is just ignorant. He's innocent still. He's not held accountable yet. But we're still doing the same resisting, you know, exteriorly as the one who God is holding accountable, because they should know already. They don't have those same blockages, same issues. Okay, I don't want to get caught up on that too much. But so I want to talk a little bit about Jonah tonight, and then I'm going to, just real quick, like, I want to talk about that just for a moment, because I love Jonah. Jonah was, the more and more I studied Jonah, and I've studied him many, many times, you know, the best I can. And so I want to go here. If I can find this. Yes, here we go. I got it. All right. Touch on this for a few minutes, and then we will get ready to take communion and move on from there. Okay. All right, so this is kind of the same general message in a way. Jonah was told by God to go to Jonah chapter 4. It's where just the whole book of Jonah. Just read the whole book of Jonah. But I'm going to get some certain scriptures here in just a moment. Give me just a minute here. So Jonah was told by God to go and give Nineveh, which was a heathen nation, a Gentile nation, a nation that is known to have invented torture, especially for Jews. They really hated Jews. They hated Jews. This is so end time, man, y'all. You gotta get this. This is so end time. And so, so Jonah knew, you know, he said, God, God, I don't want to go over there. Those people have hurt your people. They've messed your people up bad. They've tortured them. They've killed them. They slaughtered them. They've tortured them. I mean, and you want me to go over there and talk to them? That's when these Gentile heathens worship idols and stuff. You want me to go over there? Because the Bible says Jonah knew God as a merciful, kind God. I want you to listen to this, please. Jonah knew God as a merciful, kind God. That's how God had revealed himself to Jonah, a prophet. A prophet who we're fixing to see get really rough with some people, because God sometimes has strategies on how to get people to repent or get right. He has some great strategies. And God loves repentance. He just loves, you know what it's like, you know, having a child or a friend or somebody that's been really mean to you and ugly and coming against you and fighting you, cursing you, cussing you. I've had a few of those, you know, here and there. And then all of a sudden they turn around and they're totally turned on to Jesus. You know, and you just see that, and now they love you. Now they want to spend all their time with you. Now they're asking you questions. Just the opposite. They're just, oh, I love you so much. I'm so sorry I did what I did. I'm a bad person. Please forgive me. And you're just kind of, no, and it's okay. No, I forgive you. You're fine. You know, and the beauty of that, you know the beauty of that. Y'all maybe you've seen some of that a little bit. It is the most beautiful thing to see someone go from being hard and cold. That's the way I was. I was hard and cold and a drugger. I wasn't addicted to drugs, but, I like to party and drinking and drugging and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, all the stuff that went back in the hippie days. And, so, when I got right with God, it's like people were so shocked. They're going like, I don't think so. Not him. He's just too much of a heathen. That's the truth.
I mean, they just they knew how weak I was. I tried. They'd all try to quit smoking. They could quit smoking, but not me. I sneak out in the back and smoke a cigarette, you know. And then I just smoke in front of them anyway. Cause it didn't matter anyway. They knew I was weak, right? So they're going, hey, he didn't change. They didn't know. And so the people that I hung around that I resisted that were Christians, when I got right with God, once they realized it really was real, it took a little while for them to figure it out because I was such a heathen. They just thought, man, this is this is the most amazing, beautiful thing. Someone actually has turned to God and actually got, that's how God feels about repentance. That's how God feels when he sees some heathen people, some heathen person, some really mean, nasty person just turn to God. I mean, it just like you and me, right? See one of your children change or something. Totally, Mom, I'm so sorry. Dad, I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? I'm going to serve you. And they turn to Jesus people, right? It's just so beautiful. There's nothing like it. Well, that's how God feels, except even more powerful because he's the one that changed. So he does these strategies, man. It's amazing. God is strategic, especially in the realm of repentance, of getting people changed like he did with me and you guys. Some of y'all were some real heathen, man. Don't try to hide it. I know you. I can feel you. No, I can't really. But it's like I could feel you that when we get. But what I, you know, God is so gracious. He's so kind. And when you see somebody get some of that, like the person we talked about earlier who was just resisted but God kept saying they were innocent. Holding the other one accountable, they heard three times, but the one that heard 100 times, God's saying, well, I can't hold them accountable yet. They still haven't got it. And God only knows that, right? And when they finally get it and they realize how patient God was with them, when they realize after God, yeah, with my friend three times and then they start being dealt with, but me 100 times and God was still counting me as innocent of that thing. Even though I was guilty, he was counting me innocent because he knew that I hadn't really been able to learn yet. When I finally learned, 100th time, oh, man. And I realized how patient God was with me when I realized how kind he was to me. Oh, wow. Then you start bearing fruit and going out and giving that away, right? That's what I wanted to do. I mean, y'all know what we're talking about here. I mean, when I got born again, I wanted to give it away so bad. I did give it away every day of my life, just about. I just guess somebody, you gotta have some of this, man. If you could just get some of this is beautiful. Of course, people don't understand it until they get it, right? And so you get resistance and everything, but to see hearts change. Well, the reason I bore fruit was because, you know, I knew how God, I couldn't figure out why God loved me. Therefore, that really made me think how gracious God was, right? So I gave that graciousness away to people all the time because I had it from God, right? And so this is the way God is toward heathens, toward people who don't love God, toward Jews who don't love Jesus. God is very, very kind, very gracious, very – and God even knows with the Jews, God hardened their hearts anyway, or he's blind to them, I should say. And anyway, so he knows what's going on with them. That's why he doesn't hold a lot of them accountable for things. It's because a lot of them, he's blinded them for a certain season. So we have to put all this into account, friend, when we look at people, when we, quote, judge people, because there is righteous judgment. But we learn how to judge people righteously from when you understand how God works. And so Jonah was being told by God to go to this merciless, hateful, evil, torturous bunch of heathens killing Jews and hating Jews and, you know, murdering them and torturing them, love to torture the Jews. God is saying to Jonah, you're going to go visit them. You're going to give them a message. And you're going to tell them to repent. The exact message was, and we're going to get into this later, but the exact message was in 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. Because, now listen to it. He said in 40 days, he gave a date. 40 days. Nineveh, which for the heathen nation, will be overturned in 40 days. Overturned. Those words, God will choose words that very specifically speak to a people or a person. And it's like in a word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge you get from one person that changes them will be a different word of knowledge from another person. So God knew the word of knowledge or the word of God that would shake Nineveh up specifically, and for some reason, they had a fear of a timing and being overthrown. They already feared that, and God knew they feared it. God knew that they already felt like something was up, something's going on. God knew that. Now, Jonah didn't know that, but God knew that. So what did he do? He sent Jonah with a specific message. He didn't say, he said one thing. He said, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Well, the king, you know, I have no proof of this, but I'm just telling you the strategies that God used. The king, I felt like, already knew something was stirring up, something was going on. Every nation knew another nation was going to try to overcome them all the time. There's always nations trying to overcome nations all the time. So they had that fear in the back of their mind, like, okay, who's lurking about trying to get us? We never know. So God preached a message, very specifically gave Jonah the information, in 40 days Nineveh will be overthrown. Oh, that hit them. That hit the king or the mayor of the city or the king. That hit him right between the eyes. He's like going, oh, my God, I knew it. I knew. I felt something going on. And probably because he felt it, his people around him felt it, and then they probably talked about it in the streets all the time. And so here comes Jonah. Here comes Jonah saying, in 40 days, you're going to be overthrown. They're going like, yeah, confirmation, we're going down. Okay, let's see if we can get right with God. And I don't know if they got right with God to know God would have mercy on them or not, but they got right with God. They repented of all their evil because they knew they were all going to die anyway. That's just really what, or be enslaved and then be tortured, just like they tortured the Jews. Now they're going to be tortured, right? So they're like going, oh, God hit it right on the spot. That's why prophetic words are so powerful. That's why prophetic repentance messages are so strong, like Jonah gave to Nineveh, was it hit them right exactly where they hurt. And if he had said, you know, okay, you guys, Nineveh, you're all going to go to hell. If you don't stop doing this stuff, you're all going to die. You're going to die of diseases and blah, 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 or something to threaten them. They would have gone, yeah, well, we got good doctors. We didn't worry about that. But so they wouldn't have worked. You see what I'm saying? Hear the word of the Lord tonight. There's a strategy when God goes to work in a nation or a person or a people. He knows what they fear the most. He knows what will get them to thinking about their soul. All right, so Jonah does that. He goes in, 40 days. Nineveh will be overthrown. Well, there's the rumors they already felt. God hit it. Jonah hit it right on. It's like reading their mail, even though he didn't know that. What happens? The king repents. All the people repent. They fasted and prayed and repented. Why? Because God is strategic. But here's the thing. The person that God sends also is extremely important. The person that God sends with an anointing, a particular kind of anointing, is extremely important. God sent Jonah because Jonah knew God, the Bible says, as a merciful, kind God. That's how he knew him. He didn't know him as a judgment person. He didn't know him as a, you know, a person who wants to whack people. Right. He knew God as a merciful and kind God. Why did God send him with his particular anointing and knowledge of God? Because that's what God wanted to do. And Jonah knew that. And Jonah says, in Jonah 4, chapter 4, verse 2, he said, he prayed to the Lord and said, wasn't this what I said when I was still in my own country? Therefore, I hurried to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and you relent of doing harm. That's the way Jonah knew God, and that's why God wanted Jonah specifically to go. Other prophets know God in different ways. Other preachers know God, or other evangelists know God in different ways. I've seen both. I've seen God be very merciful, and I've seen God deal with things. But we all know he wants to be merciful. So he sends Jonah because that's his anointing. And when Jonah spoke the words that were judgment words, in the judgment words was the anointing that Jonah knew about God, of merciful and kind God that he is. And even though he was saying, in 40 days Nineveh will be overthrown, God knew when he sent Jonah that in those harsh, unforgiving words was a spirit of mercy and kindness. Looked harsh. 40 days, you're going to be all destroyed. Jonah really enjoyed that part of it, I hate to say. I mean, because these guys were like mean, man. You got to read it for yourself. Read Jonah's, man. It's some good commentaries, too. But anyway, so here's what I'm saying to that friend. I don't know what the word's saying exactly. Except he's God is a merciful, kind God. But we have to understand what merciful and kind God is. Is merciful and kind God keeping a nation going on and on and on in their up and down, a Democrat president, Republican president, Democrat president, Republican president, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. For God to change all that, would that be merciful for him? See, that's what we have to understand. When people saying we need Donald Trump, they're looking at it as that would be merciful and kind for God. The truth is, would it really be better if God ended the whole thing and reestablished a brand new thing to where the merciful and kind God ruled the earth, where we didn't have to go, oh yeah, maybe this time around we'll get a bad guy. Maybe this time around we'll get a good guy. Just like in the back of the days of the kings. The kings, you got a good king, things are great. You got a bad king, the people never knew. You know, they could get a king that still had idolatry things going on, and many of them did in Israel. And they were Jewish Israelite kings, like, you know, Jezebel and her little husband who passed away. And you know that, did you know that he got killed, Ahab and Jezebel, you know, Ahab got killed by a stray arrow. He got killed by a stray arrow. Nobody was trying to kill him. He got killed by a stray arrow. Just kind of like, just happened like, oh, but nobody could figure out what happened. Nobody was shooting at him. He was hiding out and nobody really knew it was him. Nobody knew it was the king. And the Bible says a stray arrow killed Ahab, a stray one. It wasn't designed for him, but yet God was bringing judgment on him because he was the king, a teacher of Israel. He allowed certain things to be taught. He had a whole crew of Jezebel's prophets who taught all kinds of things, right? And God said, that's enough, Ahab. He goes after war. Nobody knows he's the king, and yet the Bible says a stray arrow took him out. And then Jezebel was next. Right, Jezebel went down later. Some of you get between the lines, catch what's being said tonight with that. Don't forget I just said that, okay? The Lord's saying that to you. But God is a gracious and kind, merciful. But what is considered merciful and kindness with God? Is it keep America going the way we have? You know, get Trump in there for a little while, and then we get somebody else in there for a little while, and then back and forth and back and forth. You're going to hold office for like 8 years, back and forth and back and forth. What's more merciful to our children? What's more merciful? We just want temporary fix, y'all. That's the problem with America. We want temporary fix, all of us, and everything in our lives. We want temporary fixes. I do, you do, we all do. Who wants to keep on going on? We want a temporary fix. Is like, okay, you got a break for 4 years. Okay, thank you, Jesus, yeah. By the time that 4 years in, you're going like, oh, God, now here we go again. Here we go again. No, not that president. No, not him. No, please. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, there goes all of our freedoms, our religious freedoms. There goes all of them. Get a new president coming. Yes. Oh, please. Yes, this one. Oh, yes, God. Yes, please. No. Oh, 8 more years for that bad president. Oh, my God. I'm going to suffer for 4 more years. It's going to be bad. And then hopefully it'll change. What's more merciful, God to do away with that and fix it for good, or just keeping on with that? What do you think? No question correctly, because if you didn't, you got some issues, man. You guys got issues, right? Yeah, we all got issues. But that's what I'm talking about. All right, so I'm trying to go there tonight and show you some strategies of God, how God does things. Try to prophesy. It's a prophetic message. It comes together for me spontaneously. I kind of I study the stuff, and then I take off with it, and God just kind of helps us to get some things out of it. Hopefully you did. All right. So, you know, then Jonah in chapter 4, verse 2, he says to the Lord, he said, man, isn't this what I said earlier? I'm going to get over here, and I'm going to preach this message of judgment, and you're going to be merciful to him. I tried to tell you that's what's going to happen. That's what he's telling God. He's like, I knew that you were going to be a gracious God. That's why I ran. I took off and go with the other direction because I didn't want any mercy on them. I knew you were slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and you would relent. That's what the anointing that was on Jonah was, a relenting anointing. And a slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness anointing was on him. So he went preaching, man. He knew God was using him. That's why he didn't want to go. He said, God, you're just using me. I know you use me because I know you as a kind, loving, gracious God who relents and has loving kindness. That's why you're using me. And I ain't going to go because I'm not going to let that anointing that you gave me get on those people and turn those people around. No way. I ain't going. No way. I hope they all go to hell. You know, they deserve it. Right? That's how Jonah was basically thinking. So God said, nah, you're mine. And I'm going to swallow you up in a big fish and then spit you out right where you belong. You're going to give them this harsh message with this merciful, kind, blessed anointing mixed in it. All right, y'all with me? We will move on now. If you got your communion tonight, we're going to take communion and getting ready for that. Thank you for being with us tonight. We do not have video this week because I am still out of town. I'm going to be going back to Dallas or Garland. Judy and I are the cat is our cat Tigers as our cat's name, having some real issues, and so she's been really, really sick and, you know, dying, and we don't know if she's going to be dead. So I go back tomorrow. So we're going to be doing that this weekend, or actually tomorrow, next few days. So pray for me as I travel and see what God wants to do with us. We got land and property and stuff to look at. So we are all kinds of things going on. Things are breaking through, y'all. Things are breaking through. I've had people contacting me that haven't contacted me in a long time until this thing happened with Marcus Lamb, and because they all knew about it. Because they listen. They just don't call in anymore. And some people never have called into PGM because they've never been a part of it. They've been a part of my ministry for years. And they listen in what we're saying. And they're contacting me again going, wow, it's getting crazy. Yeah, they're like going, mm-hmm. Chandler, what's up? You're at it again. Something's up. So it's really been this thing with Lamb and all the information that we prophesied and ministered the last couple of months about him and that and all that has gone like a wildfire. It has spread like a wildfire. Like I said, I got people contacting me, you know, holding me that haven't in a long time. And it's humbling for them to get back in touch with me because they kind of like walked away. They kind of like, you know, didn't want anything to do with me because all I'm talking about is, you know, the financial system of the church and how it's pathetic. I got tired of hearing it, right? And, you know, so mainly that I talk about that and that I don't believe in it. Mainly not because I talk about it, because I don't believe in it. And a lot of them have resisted me because of that. Some of them have just contacted me. So pray about all that. Pray, see where God's going to fit all that into. If he does, we'll see. I'm not really – we keep God as our source, right? So we're going to keep doing that. All right. Also, if you have sent money – to my P.O. box. I haven't been to the P.O. box all week. So if you sent money to the P.O. box, if you could just text me and let me know about it and how much it is so I can pray over it, I would love to do that. Please let me know. I would really, really appreciate that. That way I can pray for it tonight. And, okay, that is, if you sent money to the P.O. box, the ministry P.O. box number, if you've done that, please let me know so that I can just tell me how much the offering was and then I can pray over it. Okay. All right.
Hang on a second. Okay. Give me a minute here as I go through this. Get your communion ready, if you would. And let's get ready to do that together. And, get it going on here. Oh, thank you, Carmen. Got that. Thank you. Okay, give me a second as I get all this together. I'm still gathering together. Give me some moment. Okay, getting pretty close here. Let's get our scripture out here. And to 1 Corinthians 11, let's get ready to open our hearts to eat the provision of the Lord Jesus. Provision of his body, his blood, cleansing, washing power of the blood of the Lamb, and to connect us to our covenant that we have with him, our covenant of blessing, to connect to what belongs to us, our healing, our deliverance, our salvation, our wealth, our finances, our homes, our houses, our children, our families, all of that. Let's really open up to that right now in Jesus' name. All right, let's partake of the covenant and reenact the covenant tonight. And, all right, Lord Jesus, we just lift up, and Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's lift up the body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lamb of God, we thank you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. Let's drink, friends. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the credit. We give you the honor. We thank you for what you're doing in the church. We give you glory that we're going to look at what merciful kindness really is instead of what we want it to be. We look at the way things, the way you look at things. Help us open our eyes with the bread, your word, your body. Open our eyes tonight, Jesus, that we will see what's really best for our country, see what's really best for our world, and that we'll be able to drop our selfish ways, our selfishness, and yield to the ways of God. See that you're literally giving us sign after sign, wonder after wonder, that you are taking us a place that only you can take us. Dealing with the root of issues of every kind. Amen. And we thank you, Jesus, right now that your body, your blood, you paid the price. Every sickness and disease, I command it to dry up right now. I rebuke sickness and disease right now in the name of Jesus. Castic. I don't know what castic is. Hang on a second. Okay. Someone's either considering having a gastric bypass or something going on with that. And I thank you, Jesus, for healing that situation. For maybe you've already had, I don't know. But I ask God to miraculously heal you, miraculously deliver you, miraculously, as we've taken the body and the blood of Christ, Jesus, to recreate in that part of the body, Father. Make it whole in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I take authority over fear. I take authority over the addiction to man's ways, doctors and lawyers and the whole thing of man. Thank God for doctors and lawyers. But, you know, we thank you, Jesus, for the way you do things. We thank you for opening up supernaturally and doing a mighty work in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up, God. Open up a way where there seems to be no way, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, for judging unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, that you know you're a just God. You're not going to bring judgment on something in an unjust fashion. You're a just and kind God. Hallelujah. And we yield to that justice. We yield to that judgment. We ask you to... You know, a judge can hit the gavel and set you free, and a judge can say, hey, you're going to get 30 days, or you're going to get 30 years. You know, whatever the situation, God is not an unjust God. He's not going to put somebody doing something and penalize them for something or set them free when they're not worthy of it. God knows
when somebody's gone beyond the point of changing in that particular area, and therefore he has to deal with it. It's sad. But what's more sad is we resist God and don't even know it. Open up our eyes, Jesus, so we won't resist you. Open up our eyes, Lamb of God, so we will confide in you and you alone. We have no other God besides you, Father. We choose no other God besides you. We choose no other teachings, no other revelations, no other doctrines, but the doctrines of Christ, the teachings of the Word of God made alive and quickened by the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody has a temper problem. Sometimes things hit you and you don't know why, you don't like it, but you have a temper problem, you throw a fit, and then when it's through, you go, well, I can't believe I did that. I didn't want to do that. Why do I do that? Well, I'm going to tell you why you did it, friend, because you just need to be forgiven. Jesus is forgiving you tonight. Jesus is setting you free tonight. He's forgiving you. He's forgiving that the root of it. He's going to the root of that issue tonight in Jesus' name. And I speak forgiveness over that anger. I speak forgiveness over that hatred that was put on you as a child that caused that spiritual part of your life to be withered up and cannot control it. Nothing wrong with anger, but it's when it's out of control. Righteous anger is good. Unrighteous anger for no reason, for no cause. Yeah. The Bible says don't hate a brother without a cause. Don't have anger toward a brother without a cause. In other words, you can have a cause and be angry at them, right? It says don't be angry and have without a cause. Now, anger has, if it's righteous anger, it's different. If anger helps us to deal with things. We can't handle it much longer. We got to deal with it. But unrighteous anger is out of control when everything's good. It's out of control when, you see what I'm saying? So in Jesus' name, I speak forgiveness to your innermost being tonight. In Jesus' name. You don't want to be like that. You wish you weren't like that. You hate it when you do that. And I speak over you. You are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are washed by the blood of Jesus. Now get up and walk and sin no more in that area. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for that glorious move of God. Hallelujah. 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 Wow. My Lord and my God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right, I think we're ready to pray over offerings tonight. And ready to do that. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Donald and Tanya. Oh, wait a minute. Give me a minute. I think I forgot something. There we go. There we go. Okay, I got that. Yes, I got it. Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Donald and Tony tonight. $5. Thank you for that, my brother and my sister. God, we ask you to bless them, nurture them, nourish them, Father, and as you teach them how to walk by a faith, not by sight, Jesus, that they're walking by faith and how they deal with life, how their future, that they're not going to, that they're going to look to the future and see God's going to open up your eyes, like we're talking about tonight a little bit, about how that, you know, God, Jonah knew God as a merciful and kind, loving God. So what does that mean in some circumstances? In some circumstances, it means that he deals with things kind of rough because it's the most merciful kind of thing he could do. Paul the Apostle turned somebody over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh for the saving of their soul. Well, you know, the next chapter, the next book in the Bible, he got it right. The guy got it right. It was amazing. And Paul says, now, be merciful, be kind. He got it right. So the merciful, kind thing was to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh to the saving of his soul. That was a merciful, kind thing of God. Because if it hadn't happened like that, he might not have got it right. So Paul understood that. what was merciful and kind was really turning him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh to the saving of his soul. Right? Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And God's going to open that up to you so that you don't judge things, you know, according to what men say, what people say, but we judge things according to what God says. Right? Yeah. And because then we come into agreement with God. Like, you know, for example, the whole Trump and Biden thing, people think that was the most merciless thing that could have happened to us, you know, is that not have President Trump. But, you know, really, in truth, God's taken us to the greatest answer, to the most, in God's eyes, the most powerful, compassionate, loving, kind thing he could do was in this system that we're in and go toward the system of Christ that was merciful and kind of God. And most people cannot see it that way to this day. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. All right. God bless you guys. Amen. Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea. Lord, bless Andrea. I just bless Andrea's her ability to govern things, to govern at another level. I know you aren't going to govern things, but may God show you how to govern things in a way you've never governed before. May God show you how to be a governor over things, how to govern situations, how to be, you know, the Bible says be good stewards of God's grace, to be a good steward. God's showing you how to be a steward, a good steward at a new level that I believe you've never learned, never seen before, never known. It's a beautiful thing. And it's going to bring a greater blessing to you to preserve all this stuff. Yeah, in Jesus' name, for preservation, for the preservation of your life, for the preservation of what you have, and what you have stored up, what you have in the bank, what you have kept, you know, all that, to preserve that. Amen. Yeah, in Jesus' name. All right. Sometimes a good steward is, so just learning how to do with what God tells you to do with, right? A good steward is doing what? Doing what God says with stuff. Not what we think, not what we want, but doing what God says. And so that's what a good steward is. Hallelujah. All right. All right, Nicole, $5.54. Thank you, Nicole, for that offering. And we just bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just keep seeing the love realm. God pouring out his love on you. And God's going to show you what real love is. Sometimes love, you know, as you know, love can be tough. Love can be very tough. Sometimes being tough on our children, even though they think it's mean, even though they think it's, you know. So God's going to show you his love when love is doing things that appears to be, you know, tough or mean. That you're going to be able to see through that and go, that's the love of God. That's God. Yeah, it's tough. It's a little rough. It's a little bit like, you know, they're having to suffer some. But I'm coming in agreement with God on that. I'm not going to interfere with it. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, Nicole. And I see that because sometimes we don't realize that we're interfering with God's love when we intervene in things when God is doing something. Like the example I used with Donald and Tanya earlier, that sometimes when God's trying to get somebody, you know, to change something, a real bondage in their life, sometimes they will come to the brink of death, sometimes even, you know, to the brink of death, maybe emotional death, maybe spiritual death, maybe just physical death even, come to the brink of that, and then in the brink of that death, it looks so, God, let me allow that. Oh, God, I just pray.
I bind this death away. And the whole time God is working something so that the person will get a breakthrough. And then when they wake up from their disastrous, you know, circumstance they went through in their body, they wake up and they're a whole new person. They're going, wow, what was that guy? And here we were binding up, you know, and all that stuff, you know. And so sometimes it's hard to see that how God's love is working. But God's showing you the love realm, how, you know, what pure love is, what God's love is, and how the many different natures and characters that God's love manifests itself. And God's love manifests to each person according to their bondage, according to what brought them that bondage, according to the what, you know, he deals with them with his love. Sometimes love gets pretty tough, as you know. Yeah, it has to. All right. Living Hope Clean, $5. Who is that? Is that a friend from Colorado? Is that you guys? Did you send an offering $5 from Living Hope Clean? All right. I'm guessing that is my friends from Colorado. I don't know. But, Lord, just pray over the $5. And thank you, Lord, for the grace of God to move in behalf, God, in spite of ourselves. We try to do everything we can, but nobody ever does everything perfect. That's what, one thing about it is that we never do everything perfect. That's why we need the grace of God. The grace of God works in our behalf and works in spite of us. Catherine Coleman would say many times, God, you know, I have nothing to offer. Work in spite of me. Some people thought God worked in spite of her sometimes. You know, so we never get it all totally correct until, you know, that special moment. So in between time, God gives us his grace. Okay, it's Veronica. Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. Thank you for that. So God giving you, Veronica, God giving you, showing you his grace and showing you how to receive that grace. So it's not that when we don't do everything perfect, that God didn't correct us. He does correct us, but the thing is that he doesn't stop blessing us because he's correcting us. In other words, right in the middle of changing us, showing us how to do things better and better, you know, unless you're doing things perfect, God's going to be always helping us get better. He's perfecting us. In that perfection process, grace is the main thing that works. The unmerited, undeserved favor of God. And we learned Paul the Apostle was a very smart man. He was the greatest warrior ever. The greatest shepherd other than Jesus. Him and John probably fight for first on that, but Paul was an amazing man, and yet God gave him a thorn in the flesh, you know, because that thorn is what taught him how to trust God in ways he would have never learned to trust God. He was very smart. He was very talented. He was very gifted. He was very prolific. He was all kinds of things. And God gave him a thorn because he knew that, you know, that was what's going to teach him how to depend on God for certain things that he needed God for. And so as God shows you how to depend on that grace and to absorb it and thank God for it, because that's what keeps the blessings going when we're learning, when we're making mistakes. The blessing just keeps on going. But if we think the blessings stop every time we mess up, they don't. That's under the law. Blessings don't stop because we're not doing everything that we think we should be doing or whatever. Grace is working because God knows there's times, you know, that we are learning and growing. And so God's imparting his grace to you. And therefore, Satan can't come in and lie and deceive and say, oh, you know, you're not doing everything perfect. You know, therefore, you know, God's blessing is going to be withdrawn from you for a season. No, a lie. Even in our mess up, even if we really even sin, you know, whatever, deliberate, God, as long as we don't keep resisting him over and over and over again, God's mercy and grace is sufficient. He works in behalf of us and keeps the blessing going, knowing that we're going to learn, knowing that we're going to go, oh, yeah, I see God. I see what you're saying. Yeah, and we learn from it. It's very beautiful. And therefore, the Satan never gets to mess with our stuff, not in a meaningful manner, not in a way that makes any difference. You see what I'm saying? So it's a beautiful thing to be like Paul the Apostle and Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was full of grace and truth, full of it. Amazing. And God said, Veronica,
in fact, to be full of the grace of God. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Martin, $10. Thank you, Martin. Hang on a minute, Martin. Okay. Martin, God is opening up the womb of your faith and, you know, and going to make you bear fruit in the sense that you're going to find God is faithful and just, that he is, you know, the one who keeps his promises. Even if sometimes we're not able to keep all of ours, he keeps his all the time because he knows we're imperfect and he's perfect. And that's why he's God. He can keep his promises, and his promises keep working in spite of things, you know, our times of doubt and unbelief and whatever that we all go through. And so God begins to work. So I see God really working and abounding inside of you in a way that shows you that he's going to bring things to pass. And God is not a liar. God is not a man that he could lie. And so God's really going to show that to you and make his promises to you and show you that he's been listening to you. He's been guiding you and leading you in spite of you thinking you weren't at times. God has graciously been guiding you and leading you into all truth. And the reason a lot of things have gone on is because God wanted to reposition you, reset you, and remove you from situations and for your future protection. Amen? Yeah, for future protection. All right. He's faithful, my brother, in his business. Yeah. Yes, pray for your brother in his business. He's having a struggle. Yes. I don't have a name there, but it doesn't really matter. But thank you for that. Yes, we pray for your brother tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that the same thing you do with Martine, moving her, causing her faith to go to another level, letting her birth, letting her become pregnant with a new expectation of your faith, a new understanding that, God, you truly are answering my prayers. You truly are listening to me. You truly are. And let him begin to sense that and know that. Let his expectation be that God is gracious and kind. God is merciful. And even with the decisions we've made where we wish we wouldn't have made those decisions, that you are the God who knows that we're learning, knows that we're growing, and going to reposition him in Jesus' name. Reposition his heart, God. Bless him and cause him to find favor with those who have tried to mess with him. Teach him how to make compromises in the right kind of way. Good compromises, adjustments. And when he makes those adjustments, he may prune some things. But when things get pruned, they grow back stronger and better. Awesome. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lord, for that with Martin's. As you prune, as he makes adjustments, and things get pruned, it seems like it might be cutting back some, but it's going to be bear more fruit in the future. In other words, let that be, God. Protect and keep and watch over him. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Karen, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Karen, for that $10. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of deliverance for Karen, God. I thank you for that spirit of deliverance that works around her, in her behalf, for her family, for her children, for her loved ones, God. We thank you, Father, for that spirit of deliverance and salvation. Salvation is deliverance. So when I got saved, God delivered me from alcohol, drugs, instantly. I mean, instantaneously, I was delivered from all the smoking. I never could quit smoking. And God delivered me. I threw my cigarettes out the window. And it's like when I threw them out the window, it's like something went out with them. I don't know what that was, but it was pretty cool. I even recognized it. I just got born again. I've been saved for, I think, one day or something, and I felt a swoosh go out the window. And so I think, you know, that's deliverance. That's salvation and deliverance. It's just all the same thing.
And I thank you, Jesus, for my sister, God. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of salvation and deliverance working in her behalf. Salvation works in many different ways. It brings healing because Jesus paid for that on the cross. And I thank you, Lord, for activating her faith in what you paid for on the cross. When she takes communion and communes with you, Father, over the table of bread in your body and in your blood, that Jesus, you will begin to activate that deliverance in every area of her life and her family, in Jesus' name, to protect. Salvation protects. Salvation keeps. Salvation heals. Salvation delivers. Salvation makes new. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Donna, $10. Donna from Florida. Thank you, Donna, for that $10. We just thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the sacrifices and the struggles and the battles that she's gone through. That you're going to work all those things out for good, God, that there's nothing wasted. There's nothing wasted with God. You're going to take everything and work it out for good. That everything that we go through, Donna, God's showing you that you can learn from anything, even if you mess up, even if everybody messes up around you. It doesn't matter who messes up, what they mess up. Just like Joseph, that thing with Joseph was so beautiful because she said, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. In other words, God turned it around. All right, God took it and taught him things from all that destructive things that went on with him. The jealousy of his brother. When you're a kid and you don't understand, you shouldn't be bragging about the people bowing down to you and you don't know what you're doing. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, we have a lot of things to learn from. And yet the reason God didn't hold Joseph guilty of being stupid was because he was a kid. Right, so there's some things that God doesn't hold us accountable for because we're children or kids or we're learning, we're young. And so, but yet Joseph did learn from it all, and it became very, very powerful for him. It gave him the spirit of rulership. He rules well because of the things and the mistakes that were done to him and the betrayals and all the things that went on. God turned it all out for good because Joseph had a teaching spirit, just like you, Donna, a teaching spirit to take dominion and authority over things. All right. Okay. All right. Donna and Anya, $10. Thank you, Anya. Thank you, Jesus, for the perfection, God. Things, the perfection, perfecting us doesn't mean we're perfect. It means that we're in the process of being perfected. In other words, every time we grow through a thing, we are more perfected. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. What he's saying to that is that the continually being perfected, continually growing, continually, when you're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, that means you're not perfect, being perfected. You're not perfecting. And so be holy, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. What he's saying is that he knows nobody's perfect but him. But perfect means you go through something, you make a mistake, you fail, somebody else fails you, somebody makes a mistake, somebody does something against you, whatever, and you learn from that, you get perfected. In other words, it doesn't become something that stops you or hinders you, but it's something that blesses you because whatever you go through, it perfected you. Instead of damaging you or hurting others, it perfected you. And so, and you continue to do that. Every time we don't do that, that's what becomes sin. Sin is really going through something and not learning from it, right? Yeah. So because you have that spirit about you to let God, you know, perfect you and make you new and make you more powerful. God is making you powerful on you. He's making you powerful. He's like keeping you hidden out to a certain degree, and so that you're not revealed so that you go through less struggles and less battles. He's keeping you hidden out. And so, but God is also training you, you know, all the time, you know, using you and the way he uses you, he's training you and you're being perfected. You know, always in that realm of being perfected. The newer perfect, it just means that we're being perfected. Perfected means we're always going from one perfection, perfected, to another perfected, right? Never degrading, never entering into, you know, slothfulness or greed or lust or, you know, all this stuff. We get tempted with all this stuff all the time. But we growing and learning and being perfected keeps us from going into that destructive mode or that mode of rust or, you know, the enemy can steal from us. The perfected realm keeps the enemy from being able to steal from you. Amen? And, yeah, give a real heart for that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, Simona, $15. Thank you, Simona. And thank you, Jesus, for Simona. God, I thank you for the recovery phase in her life, God, to complete some recovery and bring some blessing to her, God, some inheritance things from you, God. You're opening up some wealth and some blessings toward her, God, in Jesus' name. And how that she has such a heart for the gospel, how Simona has such a heart for the gospel, because, you know, the gospel is the only thing that can change people. The gospel is the only thing that can, you know, protect us and keep us and watch over us. The gospel is the thing that reveals Christ. And I thank God for your love of the gospel, Simona, your love of the gospel, what Jesus, the teachings and the revelation of Jesus, and the things that God is teaching, and the gospel of Christ. For the Bible says, the gospel, be not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Right? Yeah, the gospel is the power of God. So if we love the gospel like you do, Simona, power of God is there, right? Unto salvation, unto deliverance, unto change, unto being, you know, protected and kept by God, no matter what. So I thank you, Jesus, for that whole realm, for Simona, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Greg, $20. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Jesus, for Greg tonight. Father, we thank you for the heart you've given Greg to love and be a lover of God, to sing the love songs, to you know, I don't know, I see you singing love songs. Maybe it's to a girl or something, I'm not sure, about a girl or maybe the girl you dream of. But I see you singing love songs, and God's kind of like going, yeah, that's good. So he's not saying, oh, don't do that, that's wrong, that's idolatrous or something. No, he's saying that's a good thing, because the love, when to sing the love songs of God, and to join in with the love of God and sing songs of love, you know, is what kind of what David did when David played his harp. It's because he just loved God. God gave him up for him when he was born. I think when he was in his mama's womb, I think he just had a love for God. I don't know, because God created him to be a lover of God. He did the same thing with you, Greg. He's created you to be a lover of God and to sing love songs and to sing the songs of the Lord and to, you know, to join into that love and singing and, you know, and entering into with the angels and singing the songs of love, because God is love. And God wants to pour out love on his people, but there's all different kinds of love. You know, love is all from God, but God has many different ways of showing his love to people, and God wants to show you all those different ways, the different characters and natures of God's love and how he does stuff. Amen. All right, Sally, $23. Sally from UK, London. Thank you, Sally. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Sally, Father. I thank you for that prophetic anointing in her life, God. The reason you're drawn to the prophetic, Sally, and you have that thing is because God has connected you to that. Because God's going to give you prophetic understanding, prophetic revelation. He's going to give you prophetic insight to things. Prophetic insight to things is what's going to go on in the future. In other words, what's the market going to do? What are businesses going to do? What's going to happen? You know, so sometimes when you get sad and down because you feel like things are overwhelming you, sometimes that's the prophetic gift in you, collecting information. Knowing that, you know, just like with Joseph, when Joseph, you know, saw that, you know, things were going to get a little rough, he
you know, it bothered him. You know, it was kind of like, wow, you know, things are getting rough. And he felt that, and he knew that. And he said, God, you know, why are you going to let these, you know, let famine happen? But he knew it was God, and he just did it. And he felt it, and he knew it, and he experienced it, and it wasn't a good experience. If I'm saying this correctly or not, I hope I am making this clear, but that prophetic calling in you, that prophetic anointing in you, that part of you that wants to know the future so you can prepare for it, the part of you that wants to understand what God is doing in the future, that's why you love the prophetic. That's why I think one of the reasons you might love PGN, because it's a calling in your life. God's really going to open you up to that and show you that the prophetic is not always getting everything positive. Sometimes it's getting negative stuff. And people don't want, like me, I didn't want to be a prophet because I didn't want to get negative stuff. But that's just the way it is. You know, you get negative and you get positive stuff. And learning how to work with that is key. All right, Sally. Awesome. Thank you. All right, Latoria, $20. Thank you, Latoria. All right. Okay. All right. Latoria from Texas. That's Barbara's daughter. $20. Thank you, Latoria, for that. Latoria is the one I always tell you guys about. We brag about that, how the Lord one night, we were just like this night, we were praying over offering, and the Lord all of a sudden said, you know, Latoria, God's going to pay off your whole school bill. I didn't know how much that was, you know. I just said, oh, my gosh, the Lord just said your whole school bill. I wonder how big that is. Wow, that's amazing. 4 days later, some intervention came in, and somebody paid her whole school bill off. She said it was about the price of a Mercedes, a new Mercedes. Yeah, so whatever that is, I don't know, but it's really cool. And I thank you, Lord, for that with Latoria, God. I thank you, Jesus, for the long-suffering that she's gone through. I thank you, Lord, for God has called you to come out of slavery, to bring your people out of slavery, to bring them out of the bondage of slavery financially, to bring them out of the bondage, to bring them into a place of freedom. Just like with Moses, when Moses brought them out of bondage and slavery and living with limited income, with living with the whip on your back, so to speak, the pressure of, you know, you better do it right, you're gonna pay for it. You know, this whole thing about delivering God's people from slavery and bondage is part of your calling. And it works in the financial arenas. It works in a lot of different arenas. But it's overall a love for wanting to, you know, set people free and wanting to be blessed. You want to be blessed. God has called you to be blessed financially. God has called you to get the supply and be blessed in the supply realm of money and finances. And so, yeah. Hang on a second. God's going to bless you in that way, and he's giving you a desire for that, and now it's just like you're doing. It's a matter of getting God intervening in your situation and find the way to be successful, to be blessed, really blessed financially. And, of course, other ways too, of course. But we're focusing on that right now, so that's really cool. And God is giving you a desire for that. It's not greed. It's not the lust of the flesh. It's a calling of God. So he's opening you up to that, and you're going to make it. You're going to be blessed. God's going to show you the way. It's going to be really cool. All right. All right, Paulette, $25. Thank you, Paulette. In Jesus' name, thank you. Let's see. Do you want me to pray for something? Okay, she asked for anything in particular. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, I just thank you for that success anointing. You know, I just prayed over Latoria. Jesus' name, I just speak that into your life. I speak an extension. I see God giving you an extension of some sort. Giving you an extension. Let's see what an extension is exactly. That is added. I'm looking up the word in the dictionary and Googling it, of extension, E-X-T-E-N-S-I-O-N, a part that is to enlarge or prolong it, a continuation. Yeah. I don't think I can say it any better than that. Yeah, the action or process becoming or making something larger. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for that right now with my sister. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Extension come into her life, God, and extend her. That extension, Father, in Jesus' name. And let it be made known to her that it's your will, it's your purpose, it's your plan. Father, to it's kind of like what same, you hear the scripture a lot in prophecies a lot. About God is expanding your tent cords, you know, making you bigger. So I thank you, Jesus, for that and blessing that with Paulette, God. Increase her, multiply her, give her the creative ideas on how to. of how to be added to. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Sorry about that. And his righteousness and all these things will be added. To you. Sorry, let me get some water. Hallelujah. Let it be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be extended to you. Yeah, in Jesus' name, I prophesy it, I speak it, I decree it, I declare it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wow, awesome. All right, give me a second here and get some water. All right, I'm back. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Paulette, extending you. That's really cool. I like that. Awesome. Jesus' name. Oh. All right, Regina, $25. Thank you, Regina. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for multiplying and increasing her grace, God, the grace of God. Grace is a thing that only, I think God really has, true grace, Regina, as you know. And Jesus, the Bible says Jesus was full of grace and truth. So now that we have the truth, but we have no grace with it. I did that for years. I've talked about this many times where, you know, and I still can do that sometimes. I have truth, but the grace of God and knowing to deal with people at different levels, grace is, you know, God's unmerited favor. The personality God's given you is to bless and to be a blessing and not obligating people and you know, wanting something from them. And yet, you know, God wants you to be increased and multiplied, but he's doing it in a way that is with grace. Unmerited, undeserved favor. And when people really see that, as they've seen that in you already, and they see the grace of God in you, that unmerited, undeserved favor, and it begins to manifest itself, that they're going to go like, man, you know, I really want to bless her. I really want to give her a raise. I really want to do something for her because, you know, she gives freely. She doesn't tie strings. She's full of grace. She's full of truth. when she deals with things in truth, she deals with grace, with unmerited, undeserved favor, not trying to, you know, get something from us for everything she does. She's a giver. That Regina is a giver. She's a lover and a giver. And I thank you, Jesus, for the lover in you, Regina, and the giver in you, of giving love, of giving grace, giving unmerited, undeserved favor to people. And once they see that, that's what Jesus has reached. People loved him so much because, you know, he would do all these things for them. And they're just like, you know, that was it. Like, what do you want from me? Just love me. That's all. That's all I want. What do you told Peter? Peter just denied him. What do you want from me, Lord? Can you just love me? I just want love from you. That's all he wanted from people was love. Not a thing, not stuff, not you owe me. It is, you know, so God's really giving you a spirit of that, Regina, of grace and truth. People start seeing that. Once people start seeing how gracious Jesus was, they wanted to give him their life. They wanted to give him everything. They gave him money. He had a lot of money to come in because he had a guy who took care of the money, Judas, right? Even though Judas was stealing from him, he still had plenty of money to do a lot of things. Because he wasn't worried about it. You know, he just said, God, you know, you're my provider. You're going to take care of it. And in Jesus' name. So that happened. So as people see that about you more and more and more all the time, as it increases and multiplies, that's going to give you tremendous favor with people. Yeah, in Jesus' name. They're going to see that you are a person of love and graciousness. Amen. But a person of truth. And all that together is beautiful. All right. Most people with truth are pretty stringent and very incompassionate. Not Regina. All right, Angela Lennon, 25-25. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Lord. I just speak the promise of you did over Abraham and Isaac, over Isaac, that in the time of famine, God, you just caused Isaac to be blessed. He brought forth a hundredfold in the midst of famine, in the midst of just, you know, life just drying up all around him. God, I thank you that you bring dried up circumstances for people like Angela that have a covenant with you, God, that you're going to reveal yourself as a blesser in the midst of famine, in the midst of it. In Jesus' name, God, you're showing her how to live by faith. When we live by faith, we don't look at the outward circumstances. That's why you prosper in the midst of famine, because you don't look at the famine. You look at God. God is the author and finisher of your faith, Angela. You have faith for this. And God, I thank you for opening her up to this and showing her this realm of that when we walk by faith, we don't look at how bad everything is. We look for opportunities from God. I know you already do this, but God's increasing that. We look for opportunities from God, for opportunities in the name of Jesus. When God came to the widow in Zarephath, the prophet did and said, give me the first cake. And he blessed her, and she didn't run out of oil. Had plenty of food. Right. So, anyway, all right, there you go. All right, Nikki and Charles, $30. Pray for the address of our new housing. Yeah. In case you wonder what that means, I gave Nikki and Charles a word last night, I believe. Yeah, last night, about housing. I heard the word housing, just plain as day. Housing. I thought, housing, what is that? Like a house or housing? Is there a difference? I didn't know. But we know it's housing. We know it's a place to house. To dwell. We thank you, Jesus, for opening that up for them, God, for their future. This is about the millennium. This is about now, but it's about the millennium. This is about the future, that we can pursue you after those things, knowing that it's for the millennium. We're gonna use it in the millennium. God's going to have all of his blessings that he blessed us with. They're not just for now. Therefore, the Bible says the hundredfold is for now and the ages to come. You know, the hundredfold blessing is for now and the ages to come. What's the ages to come? Yeah, the millennium. Not have guilt and shame. Believing God for a big house or just a house, starting out with a little house. And then later grown into a big house. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so we thank you, Jesus, for that. And open that up. I don't know. I'm not getting an address right now, but I think the address God's more interested in is showing you that more and more and more all the time, that it is absolutely God's will to bless you and prosper you. And it's not like, oh, if we're going to be building a house or getting a house or moving to a house, having money for the house, we'll have to stop worshiping Jesus as much. No, you're going to worship Jesus more, as I know you will. You're going to worship Jesus more. And as you're worshiping Jesus more, God's going to open that up for you. Amen. And it's all about
the whole thing, the atmosphere of this word is that you feel totally blessed and knowing that you're right in the middle of God's will and you're on fire for Jesus with this beautiful house, with this beautiful place. You know, yeah, amen. In Jesus' name.
All right. That's for Charles Indicky, of course. All right, Sandra, $44. Thank you, Sandra, for $44. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the comment that you're joining things together. You're joining her and Robert together in ways that her husband, that for two or more touching a matter, it shall be done. You know, we all have different ways of looking at things. Women look at things different from men. Men look at things different from women, and that's why God puts them together, so that when they come together, they, you know, each we got to let each person think the way they think. Don't try to make a man into a woman. Try to make a woman to a man. Let a woman be a woman and let a man be a man, right? And when we do that, that's where our increase comes from. Oh, you got to think like I think. You got to do it like I do it. No, let them do it like they do it. Let you do it like you do it. And find the unity in that. Find the blessing in that. That's where the two or more come, you know, one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. We try to make people in our own image. We try to make people, you know, believe like we believe and think like we think. Well, we may think really wonderful, but they may think really wonderful too, but in a whole different way. And I know you already know this, and I know you already do this, but God's going to increase your ability to let go and bless and let a man be a man and let and Robert letting the woman be a woman. And those gifts and the callings in both of you come together and fit together and join together are going to absolutely increase and multiply you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Jeannie, $50. She said this was a down payment on a calf, but I guess I'm going to buy a calf. Awesome. That's, I guess that's maybe the one that you got at the auction. I don't know exactly, but that's really cool. Oh, that's $500. I think she said the title, man, I think. Cool. Really, really cool. Thank you, Jeannie, for that. And we just thank you, Lord, for blessing her, God, for increasing her like you did, you know, Job. You increased him. You multiplied him. He was blessed. He was highly favored. He had, like, Abraham and Isaac had, you know, cattle and sheep and goats, and they had everything. Camels, they had all of it. Lord, I thank you for that blessing, God. I thank you for the spirit of increase and multiplication in the name of Jesus. How let her have so much that she won't know what to do with it. Let Jeannie walk into that realm of exceeding abundance where she's not even going to know what to do with all of it. It's like, what do I do with all this? Well, maybe, you know, we can, it's the blessing of God, of what do I do with this? I have so much. What do I do with it? I have so much. And God wants you to start thinking like that, that he's going to restore you, rebuild you, and renew you because he's going to make, he wants to make you big. He wants you to be big, think big like Abraham thought big, like Job was a big thinker. You know, to God increase you and multiply you with cattle and sheep and horses and whatever you want. I don't know if I'm naming all the right names, but in Jesus' name, open that up, Father. Open that up. Amen. And let Hollis and her come together on those things, Father. In Jesus' name, let them unite together. Let them see, like we did prayed over Sandra, that they will begin to see the gifts in each other, see the blessing that each one's has. I know you already do this, and I've heard you talk about it, but thank you, Jesus, for the identifying the gifts in each other and let them have their free will to do what they need to do. And watch the blessings come in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Noel, $50. Noel always says, thank you for everything you do, Randy. Thank you, Noel. I appreciate your thankfulness, too. Thank you for that $50, Lord. I thank you, God, for, you know, the key to opening up doors that men try to shut on you. Because God said, I'll open up doors that no man can close, and I'll close doors that no man can shut. In other words, he gives you the keys to unlock doors that men shut. In other words, he opens up a door that men shut. So I thank you, Lord, for the revelation that you're giving Noel on how to open up the doors that need to be opened in Jesus' name, the favor that she needs, the way she needs it, how she needs it, and that you give her revelation. Revelation changes everything. Understanding things from God's perspective changes everything. Limit us on whatever. Then I thank you, Lord, that you give us revelation to work around that, to go through it, to unlock it. They lock the door on one side, we unlock it on this side. Because the revelation that you give Noel, God, to unlock things, she will know that she, sometimes God locks things up, allows things to be locked up so he can start showing us, hey, Noel, if you got the key for that, you can unlock that. Let me show you how to make a key for that. I'm going to show you how to make a key for that lock that seems to be unlockable. All right? Okay, you're going to get the keys of revelation, the key of understanding, the key of wisdom, the keys of God, not the knowledge of God. And that knowledge, it opens it up where no man can resist it, right? That's why Jesus walked through walls, because nothing stopped him. Why? Because of the keys of the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Lord, unload the keys of the kingdom to Noel in Jesus' name. $2. Thank you, LaShawn. LaShawn, I'm still not on vacation yet. I'm trying to think about how to take a vacation. It's like, thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for LaShawn, God. I thank you for that place with her heart, that secret love realm that she reserves for God and God alone, God. That secret place love, that secret place worship, that secret place, you know, yes, we want to extol God in the public and all that, and that's part of what we are and what we do. That's what bearing fruit is. Bearing fruit is what we get in the closet. And what we let God do in us with his patience and his love and his kindness, we go extend that and give that to others, knowing we're giving what God gave us, grace and mercy and patience and all that. But there's that secret place in you, that secret place worship, that secret place where you and God, it's you and God alone. God is really showing you more and more how to go into that secret place and lock the door and let God show you and reveal to you and give you that love. Love for truth. You have such a love for truth. And I thank you, Jesus, for her love for LaShawn's love for truth, God. And I thank you, God, that with that love for truth, you're giving her your grace. Because you are full of grace and truth. And you're also the lover you are love. And we thank you, Jesus, that LaShawn, we're going to call LaShawn love. Like Jesus was love. We're going to call LaShawn love. And Jesus saying her motivation is by love. Her loves the truth. She loves to be merciful. She loves to be kind. She loves to see God change people. She loves to see, you know, hard situations turn around by the hand of God. And I thank you, Lord, for that evangelism spirit within her, God, and that prophetic anointing combined together, and bringing the work of God to a new place. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, Chris, $55. Chris in Texas, 55. Thank you for 55 for Chris. You know, I see you like getting new tires or something, getting new tires. God's putting new tread on you, getting you ready to, you know, like a new tread to so that you'll be, you know, I don't know, have new treads. You know, anytime you get new tires, it's like, wow, I feel invincible, you know. And I see you like getting new tires or a new tire, new tires. And getting ready to go, like God's getting ready to move. You know, God gets ready. Like one way we look at this is that our vehicles are our ministry, or a picture of ministry. And when I see God putting new tires on the vehicle of ministry, your car, or your truck, or whatever you got, your spiritual life, it's because you're getting ready to go. You know, go more and go for God. Not necessarily go places only, but just go for God, going for God. And Lord, I thank you for the tread, and also that he will tread upon serpents. And that spirit of evangelism inside of my brother, God, and that wanting to walk in the power of God and to move in the spirit of abundance, so he can be blessed and be a blessing. And thank you, Jesus, for that anointing on his life, and the spirit of counsel, Father, and retreading, and putting new tread putting new tires on his vehicle of ministry, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open up the windows of heaven, God, over Chris, God, and let him see that you're putting new tires on his vehicle of ministry. is the, so that he can go without concern. Am I going to stop along the way? You know, like, thank you, Jesus, for that new for the new treads in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Open that up, God. Amen. All right. Angela Joy, $80. Thank you, Angela Joy. Yeah, I thank you, Jesus. You know, I see you really digging into the prophetic realm in the financial realm and declaring, decreeing financial breakthroughs over yourself and over people. And God answering those prayers, you know, when you pray and you prophesy and speak the word of the Lord to people, like I see you getting money. I see you getting blessed, you know, and God giving you information like that so that people will know that the Lord is involved in that prosperity, that the Lord is involved in that money, that the Lord is involved in that, so they can start connecting God, that God truly is our provider, and God bringing that whole provision realm of money and finances and showing you how to prophesy, you know, how to speak to that. I know you already do that already, but you know, like I say, everything's at a new level. So God bringing new things, a new level, a whole new creation of God's words forming in your mouth to speak forth the prosperity and you know, I'm talking about the money realm specifically, and for people, you know, to get blessed financially in Jesus' name. Open it up, God. Let the word of the Lord come through her like green, you know, life, money, power, prosperity, to prosper in Jesus' name and be in health, even as her soul prospers. Prosper. Let that tongue of hers speak forth those words of prosperity, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I just realized that I forgot somebody. How did I do that? Oh, I forgot. Terrence and Tanisha. Sorry. I just realized I had. All right. Tanisha and Terrence. Terrence gave $30.09, and Tanisha gave $2.26. Thank you, Lord, for the lovers of your soul, God, that God is really, you know, bringing forth, you know, we have our own love, and that's beautiful because the Bible says, Tanisha and Terrence, to love God with all of our heart, you know, so we take the love we have, and we love God with that, and we do that. We enter into the unlimited love realm of God, and I see God really showing you guys how to tap into that love. The love that can love someone who's unloved, the love that can love someone and let God. And when you love someone, you know, I see you guys walking in this where you let God's love do whatever he needs to do. And we talked about this earlier in the show, and I gave somebody a word, something similar to this, where, you know, when Paul the Apostle said, things 5, verse 1, I think, 2, 3, so we're going to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, for the saving of himself, the sin that God was in. You know, everybody thought, oh, my God, you know, God's going to die. He's going to go to hell. No, he turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, for the saving of his soul, so that he would be made whole. Eventually, he got it right. It was difficult. It was very hard, but he got it right. And that was a love realm of God. That was a love realm, the love realm of God. God, to Paul, sometimes the love of God that showed up to Paul was kind of rough. But it brought results, and God's giving you that love, that whole love realm, to walk in a place to where we get results. If you have to rebuff somebody, I believe God to, you know, deal with them harshly to help them, then we're not afraid of that because love is not afraid of being dealt with. What love wants to do, whatever it takes to get the result that's needed, amen, in Jesus' name, to save the person or to deliver the person or whatever the person needs, and God doing that with you in Jesus' name. Open that up, Father, right now by the power of God, the love realm with Terrence and Tanisha, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are going to allow God to do it. We're not going to stop. We're going to say, oh, no, God, don't do that. That'll hurt your feelings. No, Terrence and Tanisha going, yep, whatever love, we love God. We know you love, we know you're God of love and justice and whatever to do, whatever changes them, whatever that takes. We know it's your love. So do whatever you want, God. And I see you throwing up your hands going, God, do whatever you want to show your love. however you want to love somebody, we know it all ends up in the right place for the right reasons in Jesus' name. We love you, God. We gather together. We join together in harmony in Jesus' name. We know that we're going to let your love flow and know whatever way you want to show that love to bring that change. We will allow you to do it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. TMT. All right. All right, Angel Joy, that was awesome. Right. Carmen, $114. Thank you, Carmen. Since you sent that in the mail, I haven't been in town to get the mail, so thank you for letting me know about that. Thank you, Jesus, for Carmen, God. I thank you for the spirit of deliverance. The spirit of deliverance with you, Carmen, God is really going to increase that and multiply that, and you're going to find deliverance in many different ways. Sometimes God will have people get delivered from people for a season. Sometimes God will have people get delivered from demons. Sometimes God will have people get delivered from disease and sickness. Sometimes God will have people get delivered from a job. Sometimes God will have all kinds of deliverances. Deliver them from trouble. Deliver them from fear. Deliver them from all kinds of things. And I thank you, Jesus, for the higher levels, the blessed level of deliverance, Father, in Jesus' name. And the heart you've given, Carmen, to see people get delivered from the powers of Satan, from the evils of the world, in Jesus' name, and from the trickery of religion, in Jesus' name, and that spirit of deliverance, God, that's in her. Reveal your glory to her, God. Open up your glory realm to her in the name of Jesus, and let it be done right now, Father. The spirit of deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let it be done, Jesus. All right, Davey, $137. Davey from Georgia. Thank you, Davey. We love you. We thank you for your love for God. We thank you, Jesus, for the new light God's given you. I see a new light shining in you and through you. I see your compassion has grown broader and bigger. I see that your understanding for people is deeper and wiser, and God's really giving you wisdom, you know, of how to handle situations, how to let go and let God, which is really hard for most of us, let go and let God. And God's showing you how to let go and let God. Because it takes a miracle move of God to do that. Sometimes, you know, God shows you how to don't let go. Don't let go of that. Sometimes we let go and then we let God, right? Other times we take hold of it for the Lord. And God's showing you the strategies of heaven. Like we talked about tonight, I don't know if you were able to listen to the teaching tonight about Jonah and how that, you know, Jonah was used by God, and the strategies that God used Jonah for to get Nineveh to get right with God. It's pretty amazing. It's kind of some new stuff for me, but I see God showing you strategy and ways in his heart, and when he's saying, do not let go of that person, hang on that. You're all they've got. Show them, contact with them, love them, show them, reveal love to them. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, for that love of God. In Davey, God, in Jesus' name, and bless her, multiply her, increase her, God. Cause her money to be blessed. Cause her friendships to be blessed, God, where she increases and multiplies in the realm of people and life and truth. In the name of Jesus. All right. Okay. Well, I think that's it for tonight. As far as I can see, I'm checking one more time. Oh, Shannon. Shannon just gave 10. All right. Thank you, Shannon. Oh, Jeff and Uke say wait 1 second. We love those 1 seconds. I can wait 1 second. I can wait many seconds. All right, Shannon says, will you pray that God replenishes my body? Yes. I think that's exactly the right word, my brother. Replenishing your body strengthens me with health and vitality. Felt beat down after the migraine, I bet. Also, God opens my wife's eyes to me. She's around or brings her. Yes, Lord, I just come in agreement with this specific prayer request. I thank you, Jesus, for that. And bring that to pass, God. Bring that into the realm of your glory in Jesus' name. Bring it, God. Bring the realm of your glory. Let Shannon, see the realm of your glory in Jesus' name. Let him see that in the name of Jesus, the realm of your glory, God, in Jesus' name. All right? Hallelujah, the realm of your glory, God.
Nurture, show Shannon how to nurture his body, how to strengthen his body, how to drink from you, what to drink, especially the water thing. I know that I make a lot of thing out of the water, out of the water, but drinking water, but it is extremely important. I've seen people come back almost from the dead by just getting a little bit of water inside them. I mean, literally, it's amazing how we live off water. That's why we can't live without water long. And I know I've already talked to you about that, but in Jesus' name, let him see the glory, God.
Let my brother see the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Open up, nurture, bless, encourage, fulfill, God. Fulfill your love in Shannon, God. Let him see that you love him. Let Shannon know how much you love him, God. Let him have an experience with the love of God. In Jesus' name, in a way that he never has, Father. In the name of Jesus, I speak an anointing of love on you, brother, right now in Jesus' name. The love anointing. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, Jeff and Uke, $222. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. That was definitely worth waiting a second, right? Yeah. That's really cool. All right, thank you so much. All right. Okay. All right. Hang on a second here. Thank you, Jesus, for Jeff and you, God. We thank you, Lord, for showing them your covenant, Father, that how important the covenant is, and the people of covenant, and we make covenant with people that believe in the covenant, that have a covenant with God, that walk in their covenant, not just believe in the covenant or know they have a covenant, but walk in the covenant. That walk in that covenant place with God, like Abraham did, like the great men of God did, that prospered. You prospered them. You blessed them abundantly because, why? They walked in covenant. What does covenant mean? When God gives you something, like a child named Isaac, you know, Abraham got Isaac, that God gives them to him. If he asks you for that child, you give it to him. See, I mean, that's the realm, the Abrahamic blessing. The reason Abraham was so blessed, Jeff and you, is because he understood that God gave him to me, and if I have to, I'll give him back. You know, does it make any sense? I don't know why. Why God? Because when you have a covenant, what you have came from God. And God says, anytime I need it, I need to ask for it, right? So that way, if he asks you, when he asked Abraham for that child, he was really saying, if you'll give me your child, I'll give you everything I got. I'll give you my best. I'll give you my greatest. I'll give you my glory. I will give it to you. And that's exactly what God did. He gave him his best. He gave him his glory. Why? Because Abraham gave God his glory, his son. So I thank you, Jesus, for showing Jeff and you how to give their glory, how to give their glory to you, God. Amen. When you give them glory, when you ask for some of it back or part of it or all of it or whatever you do, that they will be willing to do that. That's the covenant. That is the covenant. When you walk in that, when you live in that, when you activate that, in Jesus' name, it is amazing. It's miraculous. The provision and the blessing God can bless you with. Amen. Greed comes from... you know, not knowing the covenant, because covenant greed is God asking you. If God asked for Abraham had a lot. God blessed him with a lot, and God says, "Okay, Abraham, now I'm ready to activate my part of the covenant. Offer your son up to me." And he goes, "Well, no, I can't do that. I offer you up everything else I have, but not my child." And God would have said, "That's greedy." Even though Abraham would have given everything but his child, he was still greedy, because God says, "When I want something of you, and I ask it of you, then when you give it to me." You know, and you don't give it to me, it's greed. Because God only wants the things that are important, that are precious to us. And when we don't give the things that are precious to us, when God asks for that, then that is greed, right? So greed isn't what people think it is. It's a whole different thing. And I'm going to show you guys how to walk in that God so loved the world that he gave. And just like Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? As long as we, when Jesus said, do you love me? And we say, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And we live in that love realm. The love realm will always keep us pure from greed and all that. That's what love does. In Jesus' name. And you guys are blessed with that, favored with that, and increase you in that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Nicole, $3.25. Thank you, Nicole, for that. Nicole, for the offering. Thank you, Father, for bringing things to pass. I think for that bringing to pass word, bringing to pass, bringing to pass, bringing to pass, bringing to pass. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing to pass. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Abraham and Sarah tried to bring it to pass themselves, and bringing things to pass. They tried to bring things to pass themselves. You ever try to do that? I have. I've tried to bring things to pass myself all the time, actually, you know, seriously, because it's so, you know, you just think, well, maybe God wants to do this. And God says, no, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. Well, I'm tired of hanging. I'm hanging. He said, hang on. And so, yeah, so bringing things to pass, that whole thing of bringing things to pass. So it was like, either God can bring it to pass or we can bring it to pass. But Abraham brought that to pass himself with Sarah and Abraham came together and decided, well, you can go into her servant and did that. Then that was them bringing it to pass. So, you know, but God is so gracious, man. It's amazing how that in spite of all that and how messed up that was, God just, you know, Abraham is so cool, Nicole, because my gosh, look at what God did for him in spite of everything. It's amazing, you know, and God just kind of like, you know, I don't know, it's just favor. It's truly a blessing. So I thank you, Jesus, for that favor and that blessing with Nicole, God, in Jesus' name, of bringing things to pass. Amen. Who brings to pass? You do. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Sending money in the morning. Oh, okay. Getting in time, pray for me and my family, and I can properly and gracefully handle what is revealed to me. Yeah. My heart, the ability to choose righteous paths. Right. Amen. I think I asked Cheryl saying that. Thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl. Thank you for your love for you, God. That, you know, it's all about motivation. That's Cheryl. That's one thing God started doing with me. He started saying, Randy, it's about motivation. You know, I know you have truth, but what are you motivated by in it? I'm going like, because I want the truth out. He said, what are you motivated by? Well, because I like the truth. He said, what are you motivated by? I went, okay, obviously I'm not motivated. So what are you trying to say? You know, and that's why Jesus was full of grace and truth. You know, and so because grace gives you the ability to give truth, to give the truth. And give it with the right motive, to give it with the right intention, you know. Sometimes I've given even prophecies that I know God told me, and I'm thinking like, you know, well, I hope that don't come to pass. Seriously, so, because I didn't understand the situation. You know, God is so broad. He's so big. We don't always understand why he's wanting to do and say, like with Nineveh, when Jonah went into Nineveh, that was sounded like a really harsh word. It was a harsh word. But also, Jonah had, like the Bible, I read it earlier. Jonah had, the Bible says that Jonah knew God as a gracious and loving, kind God. And he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he thought, man, I'm not going to go there because I think the anointing is going to get on. This anointing you gave me, God, of knowing you as loving, kind, and generous, and full of mercy. When I get in there and I start saying whatever you tell me to say, those words are going to be anointed, even though they may be harsh words, they're going to be anointed to bring mercy and compassion. And I don't want to bring mercy and compassion. So his motive, you know, there's his motive. And his motive was like getting off out there and running, because his motive was he didn't want them to get blessed and turned around, right? So but we don't realize truly that sometimes giving hard words, if it's a strategy from God, I don't know if you're able to hear the earlier part of the message tonight about Jonah, but it was about that God used him as a strategy, and he knew that Jonah knew God as a merciful kind of loving God. So, and so God was sending him, specifically sending Jonah to there with a specific message of what would tap into the fears of the king's. Oh, so you got that. Okay. So I have to explain all that. All right, but isn't that awesome? That was really fresh for me tonight. I mean, I just kind of got that. And, yeah, so, you know, so we all deal with this. I mean, here you got to give this hard message, but little did Jonah knew that hard message was probably the fact that Nineveh knew that they were kind of, you know, when you're a nation that's, nations are always overtaking nations, so they always wonder when they're sneaking up on you. So God knew that when he had told Jonah to say those specific words that you're going to be overthrown in 40 days, they're going, like, oh, God, that's what we felt. Okay. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was a very specific, detailed, directed word, prophetic word. It wasn't just a, you better get right with God, you bunch of honkies, because they're going to come down and get you, going to take you out. Yeah. You're going down. We're going to take you down. That would have probably messed with them too much. But in 40 days, you're going to be overthrown? Well, that's what they feared. God used that specific words to tap into their most vulnerable, you know, thing. And sure enough, what did it do? From the king on down, man, they turned around. The king on down, they turned around. They turned around, round and around. Yeah. And so, Jonah's motives, you know, just like mine sometimes. I mean, I don't even want to go there. Because it's getting too late for me to start talking like that. But about myself, about some of my motives and things. But, yeah. But anyway, his motives were that he knew God would be gracious, even though the message was extremely difficult. It was going to, you know, possibly turn him around. So he didn't want to go for that. So God, thank you for Cheryl, God, helping her in the words you're giving her, showing her what to do, what to say, knowing that sometimes the very specific information given can be the thing that hits the very motive fear that somebody's already fearing, and God used that fear, you know, the right kind of way to bring them to fear God. So I thank you, Jesus, for the power of that, for the love in that. That we just love your word. We love you. We thank you, Jesus, that whatever you say, whatever you have us do, it's going to work out for good one way or the other. Amen. Yeah. So in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. All right. You're going to send that in the morning. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. You know, I'm not asking you to do any of that, but whatever you want to do, that'd be awesome. All right, y'all. I think maybe that's it now. I'm not sure. Is that it? Let me check to make sure. What a great night. What a great week.
That's it. I'm going to be heading back to Garland, I think tomorrow. And I haven't checked the mail, so that's why I mentioned it earlier. I haven't been there to check the mail. So anyway, that's what's going on with that. But I'm going to go there tomorrow and be there for a few days. I'm going to come back here. I still got some things we're doing. We're just breaking into all kinds. I'm really helping out here a lot. It's kind of my some of the things I'm good at. We're working on a lot of things. So pray for me as I do that. Pray for me as I travel back to Garland tomorrow or the next day. Be there for a few days and then come back here and work during the week, I think. Christmas, I'm not even sure. It's kind of all transitioned into something. I didn't have a clue I was going to do all this, but very, very glad to be able to do all this stuff. It's very satisfying, as you guys know. And pray for me as I do that. And because I do wear myself out. I do get tired. I love getting tired like that. That kind of tired is a good tired. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's really, really cool book. And I'm really enjoying being with my children, one of my children. And so it's really good. Okay. Awesome, everybody.
Anything else? I'm going to, it's only 11:30, but yeah, I think I've done my job for the night, as far as I can tell. Thank you, everybody, for giving. Thank you for helping us. Thanks for making it possible to do what we do, and hopefully buying, getting some things going on with the ministry, all that, getting the word out. Really excited about it. After the Marcus and Joni thing, and that's not finished yet, some things happening. So really good. God's good. God is good and gracious and kind and works all things out together for good. In amazing ways. All right, y'all. I think that's it. Nobody else is getting a hold of me, so I think that's all for tonight. Been awesome. Been really, really great. All right. Again, pray for me as I travel.